Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, even when your microphone's not working. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You may be seated. We're talking about our thought life and things that we think on, and one of the things that my wife and I the past few weeks have been thinking about is this little guy. All right. This is Devin Lee Wills Jr. He's a very happy baby. He'll get bitter when he finds out who his daddy is. But nonetheless, he's a happy little guy, and that's a picture of when he was in the hospital, and this is a picture of when he was at home, and then this picture is what we find out that he does the most of and does the best, all right? And every time I ask Devin, how's my grandson doing? He says, well, he's sleeping, and he says other things that he's doing that babies do. And so he says he's doing great. Now, when we think about things that we love, and, you know, we find out that our thoughts affect our actions. Now, this is part six of being community of the obvious. There are some things that we are to obviously be about as followers of Christ. A few weeks ago, we talked about always pursue God. And so I want you to say these things with me as they come up on the screen, all right? Always pursue God. You with me? Is it up there? Say it with me. Always pursue God. Secondly, always rejoice. Thirdly, always pray. Fourthly, always thank. Be thankful. Have a heart of gratitude. Always test. Test all things and hold to that which is good is what Paul writes. Now, as we talking about this idea of our thought processes, we mentioned last week in the introduction that Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And oftentimes, Jesus, in his teachings, and when he would bring about a parable, and he would ask his disciples, what do you think, or what do others think about what has been said? Not because Jesus was concerned of their opinion of him. He was wanting to know how their thought process and then causing them to think. Jesus is more a rhetorical think about what they're about to say and what he has just said. So it's important for us to understand how we think affects who we are. On the screen, you'll see a jar of Skittles. All right? Not that jar. I don't know which jar you got, but I guess it's the full jar, right? You got it up there on the screen? There you go. I think that's the one, all right? Now, you can shake that jar. You can take the lid off of it, and you could tilt it over. And the shaking and the tilting and the knocking over does not dictate what comes out of the jar. What dictates what comes out of the jar is what is in the jar. What is in the jar is what makes the difference. And you could say that our heart is like that jar. Our mouth is like that lid. And what is in the jar, what is in the heart, ultimately will come out, right? And what comes out is a reflection of what is within. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So remembering that, how we think is very important. I'm going to read to you again what I read to you last week. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said in his sermon, Think Well, Do Well, our thoughts very greatly influence our actions. It is questionable whether a man could long think on any subject without the course of his life being colored by it. Like certain silkworms which yield silk colored, so our life gradually takes on the tinge and hue of the thoughts of which we most accustom ourselves to. So when we think about our lives and we think about our thoughts, we have to understand what we think on is very important to our life and how we respond in our life. Some years ago, there was a big push on and a lot put into the idea of having a positive mental attitude. You remember that? There were the positive thinkers. You know, Zig Ziglar was kind of the godfather of that. And Zig Ziglar, a fine Christian man, taught a Bible study class, First Baptist Dallas, for many years. And he's a fine Christian man. And there's a lot to that. Now, I don't think, you know, just because you think it doesn't make it going to happen. I mean, you know, you could think positive thoughts about being able to fly. But if you jump off, let me just tell you, gravity's going to win. All right? So you have to understand this positive mental attitude with some common sense, all right? And I would say as a Christian, certainly with biblical underpinnings, all right? So when we think about this attitude, because when I talk about positive mental attitude, so there's some truth to it, because if you have you ever been around a person that all they do is think negatively? They think negatively. Every time they think about something, it's a negative thought and it's spewed out, huh? Ever been around those persons? Those people, those persons, you know. So when you think positive, how many of you have ever been in a situation where you felt just negative, felt overwhelmed, and all of a sudden somebody comes into your life and speaks into your life some positive word about who Christ is or what Christ has done for us, or they give you some words of encouragement, and all of a sudden your thought process turned positive, and it just affects your whole outlook. So you see, how we think does affect how we act and how we react as well. So our thoughts and how we think is very important. Let me give you another quick illustration. As you know, I'm quite the gardener. Right? No, don't answer that. I don't want to get you to lie. But I will tell you this, I've never put a squash seed in the ground and got a tomato off the vine. I've never put a tomato seed in the ground and got a watermelon off of it. You see, the seeds that we sow into our thought life is what's going to come out. So we have to remember we're to think on the right things. Our thought life, it affects us physically, it affects us emotionally, it affects us spiritually. Every aspect of our life, as we talked about last week, you know, when we get overwhelmed, what happens? We start getting stressed, don't we? We start worrying about things. And Jesus says, don't worry. Don't get caught up in worrying about the things of today, because the things of today are sufficient for themselves. You don't have to worry about it. It's going to happen, all right? And he said, for those of you worrying about, how many of you worrying about how tall you are can add one cubit to your stature? Worrying doesn't profit you. It only stresses you. And we know, as medical studies have shown, stress will just ultimately, it will kill you. We also mentioned last week having people that tell you, you know, don't overthink this. Huh? Sometimes people dwell on things that just they have no control over. And they worry about it and worry about it. I've known people that worry about not having something to worry about. And don't misunderstand. I mean, there are some events that happen in our life that make such a dramatic impact. that it is tough. You can't just dismiss it. I'm not saying that. There are some things in our thought life from our past that we don't need to allow it to define who we are in the present. We have to embrace it because it is what it is. But we don't allow it to define us because of who we are in Christ. Christ, if we come to Christ and Christ molds us and shapes us, and if we believe what the Word of God says, that he that's begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, we can't get wrapped up in what's happened in the past and worry about it and dwell on it and let it define us here in the present. We allow God's work in us and through us to define who we are as his child in the present. So let me give you these four things. We hit on them last week. We didn't go into them. I want to go into them this morning. Because first of all, we need to think humbly. Think humbly. Turn to chapter 2 of Philippians. And as you read these things, let me just go back to our text. When we talk about when the Lord says, rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. Don't you think that encompasses our thought processes? Because there's going to be times you're going to be in a situation that you're really not all that joyful about. So there has to be a cognizant action, an intentional action for you to rejoice in the midst of something that's not very joyful. So when you think about the thought process and what the Bible says about our thought life, everything we're to do, we have to think about it because oftentimes it's paradoxical or it's contrary to what we're going through. And most of the time, if not, you can almost say all the time, it will be contrary to how our culture says we're to respond to it. So we have to make the Bible says bring every thought into captivity. And we have to take control of our thought life and not let the influences of this world get us thinking on the wrong things. I was talking to Brenda last week after here's the way our conversation goes. Well, was the sermon okay? Yes, honey, it was good. I mean, but was it okay? Yes, it was really good. Do you think I unpacked that good? Yes, darling, it was good. So, and then we go on, we talk about the sermon. So we got in talking about the sermon. That really does happen a lot. But she doesn't get real that emphatic. But nonetheless, she goes, yes, sweetheart, it was good. I've already said that. Anyway, we were talking about it, and she brought up in the women's Bible study, one of the things they talk about is stinking thinking. You've ever heard the term? I've heard the term. And that's where we find ourselves. And in the scriptures, there's an example. The Bible says that the mind of Christ is the mind we are to have. And so when we talk about to think humbly, we would certainly say our Lord modeled this. In chapter 2 of Philippians, notice what it says. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. Now let me just say, the term there for the word if, it's means and it drives home the point that there's an understood truth that since there is consolation in Christ, it's not questioning whether or not there is or not. It's saying if there is, it means since there is. And so he goes on, he says, fulfill my joy. Notice what he says, by being like-minded, how we think, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, that we think the same. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Stop right there. So if we're not to do anything with selfish ambition or conceit, what's the antithesis of that? It's to walk humbly before the Lord, to walk in humility, not to think of ourselves more than we should. Notice what he goes on. But in lowliness of mind, think humbly. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, this is counterintuitive to our culture. Our culture says, look out for number one. Look out for yourself. Doesn't matter who you step on in the corporate world. If you're going to climb the corporate ladder, step on whoever you have to step on to get to the top. But that's not what we're to model. We're to think humbly. We're to think in the lowest of mind. Then he goes on to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now, until I was studying this passage again, I knew that the previous verses would Jesus would model that, but when you think about what Paul is writing here, certainly the previous verses is connected to all of what he's saying about the mind of Christ. Why did Christ come? Did Christ come because he needed to? Did he need forgiveness of sin? Did he need to come here and to prove himself? No. So Paul writes that we are to be like-minded, we're to be of one mind, and we're to not only look out for ourselves, but look out for others. Why did Jesus come? He came for others, not for himself. He goes on, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. If we're to have the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself. If that was his mindset, that should be our mindset. That we think humbly. That we think of others. There was a need that we had that we could not meet on our own. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were all sinners. We were destined for hell. Jesus came in the likeness of men, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? So that you could have forgiveness, so that I could have forgiveness, so that we could be redeemed back to a holy and righteous God, to have a relationship with Jesus, to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, to have a friend that's sick and closer than a brother. And we're admonished that we are to have the same mindset. Then notice what it says, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus humbled himself and God exalted him. The Bible also says that if a man will humble himself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt him in due time. When we think humbly, our motivation shouldn't be, I'm going to think humbly because then I'll be exalted. That's not a very humble mindset. But when we think humbly and have the mind of Christ, God will be glorified through our lives. Give you an example. Anybody heard anything about the Amber Geiger case this past week? What a display of the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And a humble mindset of a young man that would sit behind the microphone in a courtroom and look at somebody who had killed their loved one and said, I forgive you and I want the best for you. Amen. And to look at a judge and say, could I give her a hug? Please, may I give her a hug? Please. What a display of a humble mindset. Amen. He wasn't thinking about himself. If we could all follow that example in our lives, what an impact as followers of Christ and as Christians we'll have. What an impact this young man had on a nation.
Amen.
And to God be the glory. Amen. You see, he humbled himself and he did what he knew he was to do as a follower of Christ. And God exalted him across this nation because he was glorified in what he did.
Amen.
What a beautiful example of what we're talking about this morning. We are to think humbly. Secondly, we should think honorably. Back in our text, look with me in our text. Notice what it says in verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now that is the opposite of whatever things are untrue or dishonest or unreliable things. We're to think on what is true. Whatever things are noble, that is, whatever things are worthy of respect that we should give attention to. Whatsoever things are just or right. That is, those things that really conform to the standards of God. The things are right. Whatever things are pure, that is, holds with moral impurity. Lovely. That which promotes peace rather than conflict. Whatsoever things are of good report. That's the things that are admirable, that are positive and constructive, not negative and destructive. And then he goes, if there be any virtue, or since there's virtue in what he's laying out here, there's truth in thinking on these things and how we're to respond to these things. If there's anything, sister, think that, or these things are praiseworthy, he said to do what? Think on these things. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands this morning, but I wonder how many in this audience today would say and would have to raise your hand to answer this question honestly. This week, there's been a day or two that I've been a little overwhelmed in my thought life. And I can't say I was thinking on the things that are listed here. Either somebody wronged you, somebody did something to you, somebody said something, or maybe you just got caught up in worrying about things that you have no control over. And in that moment and in that time, you found yourself, if you'd be honest about it, wondering where God is in all of this. And yet there's some things that we are to think. We're to think honorably. We're to think humbly. We're to think honorably. To think on the right things. Psalm chapter 1, first division of Psalm. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate, think on, day and night. And then he goes on, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So what does he meditate on? He meditates on the things of God, the law of God, the word of God. When you feel overwhelmed, when you feel like, where's God in all this? When you feel like, hey, my thoughts, I'm just overwhelmed. I can't deal with this. I have to have an escape. Let me challenge you. Think on the things of God. Think on his word. Just go back and read Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and think on the things that are true. Think on the things that are just. Think on the things that are lovely. Think on the things that are a good report. Think on the things that are pure and the things that are right. Think honorably. Thirdly, think humbly. Think honorably. Think maturely. What do we mean by that? When we say maturely, we are to think as Christians, when we walk to the Lord, with the Lord, we're to think beyond what the average person thinks and thinks on. I'm not talking about on a necessarily an intellectual scale. I'm not talking about on a wealth knowledge that you can go and quote an encyclopedia or a dictionary and have all these large words. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about what consumes our thoughts. And I will tell you, when you spend time in the Word of God, you cannot spend time in the Word of God and the Word of God not affect you. I've told you this story before, and there's a young preacher, if I was to mention his name, some of you know him, but he was bragging about reading through the New Testament every 30 days, and one of the old wise preachers finally said, you know, you ought to quit reading and start studying it. You know, you can read through the, it has to be more than just words on a page to you. We need to think mature. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. What does the Bible say here? In verse number 20. It says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babes, but in understanding, be what? Mature. He said, understand what he's saying here. He's saying, in malice, be as babes. In other words, when it comes to malice and holding it, act like you don't even understand what that is. But when it comes to your understanding, be mature in understanding. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which is a text that we launched this portion of this with. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, again, what does it say in verse 21? He says, test all things. Now, how are you going to test all things and know what to hold? It says, hold to that which is good. How are you going to know what to hold on to and what is good when you're testing if you're not mature in your thought process? Turn back to Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 12. Now, not that I have already attained. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing here. And understand about Paul. Who was he prior? Paul was a very educated man. Paul was well known in the political ranks, in the religious ranks, as Saul of Tarsus. And as Saul of Tarsus, Paul went around and he was killing Christians thinking he was doing the work of God. And he had a radical transformation that took place in his life. And now he, with all of his education and with all of his knowledge, with all the knowledge of the law, Paul had a greater understanding because of what Jesus had done in his life. And he says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected or mature, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What I say early on, you can't live in your past and let your past define you. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul knew there was a time in which he used to live in a way that was not pleasing to God, but he only knew that after he had a transformation with Jesus. And now he says, I press toward the mark. I'm moving ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are what? Mature. Have this mind. What does a mature mind say? The mature mind says, I'm going to forget those things which are behind. I'm going to reach for those things before that Christ has laid hold of my life and laid hold of me. And I'm going to press toward the goal, toward the mark, for the prize of the upward call of Jesus. I'm going to stay focused on Christ.